Coach Mo.
Hey, it's Coach Mo.
Hey, it's Coach Mo.
Knowing what you want to accomplish professionally is just the beginning. I'm Coach Mo, and this podcast is for young professionals and emerging leaders who want to lead, achieve, and succeed at work. You've got executive ambitions and the drive to get there. Join me for perspective, insights, and thought-provoking questions that only you can answer. Today's episode starts now.
Tuesdays with Coach Mo.
Would it surprise you to know that in a national survey of four-year college graduates, 95% of respondents considered a sense of purpose at least moderately important in their work? Surprise you? Maybe, maybe not. Well, how about the fact that of those 95% of respondents, only 40% said that they had a meaningful career, and only 25% reported that they liked what they were doing on a daily basis. So, whoa, this is a significant gap. Some calling it the purpose gap. Now, this study I was referring to was created in partnership between Gallup and Bates College. And Bates has a particular interest in purposeful work, as they've even created the Center for Purposeful Work. And it was the president of Bates College who said, the purpose gap is also a challenge for employers because of a strong correlation between employees' purpose and engagement and an organization's bottom line. So this is the focus for today's episode of Tuesdays with Coach Mo. Job searching for a six-figure, soul-aligned career. When you're working from a place of purpose, not only are you likely to be more engaged and productive while at work, but you're also likely to have a high sense of overall well-being. Today's guest, Stephanie Heath, is a job search advisor, salary negotiation expert, and founder of Soul Work and Six Figures. She has helped hundreds of burnout professionals find their dream job while oftentimes doubling their salaries. Now, with a very well-defined process that requires clients to dig deeper in pursuit of their soul-aligned career, Stephanie and her team incorporate holistic practices, including yoga, meditation, and energy work to better position job seekers' mindset and emotional health. As we turn now to my conversation with Stephanie, you'll hear her response to my request to have her share her professional journey, which began as a corporate recruiter to becoming an entrepreneur. And yes, she actually reveals some terrific secrets from the recruiter's perspective. So be sure to catch the show notes for today's episode at TuesdaysWithCoachMo.com. Again, that's TuesdaysWithCoachMo.com, as Stephanie shares some fantastic resources and has a special offer to our podcast listeners. Enjoy the conversation.
I started off as a recruiter. I had the opportunity to be an HR assistant or a recruiter, and I went that route because the, I guess, glitz and glamour of a high salary package, you know, brought me in early on. I went to school for psychology, and I ended up working at companies like Amazon, Sony, managing their recruitment practice. Eventually, I decided to go on my own, and Soul Work and Selfies was created. That was a company helping women with self-esteem, and that transitioned into Soul Work and Six Figures. So that's where we are today.
Nice. Okay. And so give us a peek under the tent. What is something that, would you say, job seekers really don't know now that you've been on the side of recruiting, right, with corporate? What are some things that the folks don't know about the process of recruiting?
So there's so many. the first would be is that the folks that are interviewing you, whether they be founders, your hiring manager, or just a recruiter, we assume you're a good fit based on your resume, your LinkedIn profile. So when we interview you, we're kind of just temperature checking and asking questions, of course, but we are assuming that you're a good fit. And because candidates can sometimes be really nervous or they don't believe their worth, they end up kind of putting their foot in their mouth. And that's when we're seeing them not passing interviews. And then I guess we could talk about salary negotiation later, but folks typically don't understand when that starts, but we'll get to that.
Ooh, good. That sounds like that sounds really juicy. And so what is it that you see on that side of the table that is, you know, really letting you know that someone is either not prepared, not well prepared, or is it just nerves? You know, because sometimes you want to give someone some grace that the process is kind of, because it's judgmental, right? Do they like me? Are they going to say yes? And so it's natural to be nervous. But what are some of the things you observe that distinguish those who continue to move forward in the process and that which holds some people back?
Authenticity. And you bring up a great point that as a recruiter, our job is to make you feel comfortable. So even if you're nervous during the interview, by the fourth or fifth question, there's a rapport there, you know, you've kind of calmed down a little bit and we're able to get the real answers from you. But I find that candidates can sometimes make a mistake or just not really invite the company to see who they really are by being too defensive and almost being afraid to talk about a negative work experience or just be really honest in an answer. For example, some of the clients that we have are really polished young women, potentially they're minorities. And because they're so committed to having that polished professional look, they're not really giving truthful answers. So they may gloss over something. And so when you're interviewing, that interviewer or that founder can pick up on that. And so you may make it to the third round or to the final round, but ultimately they'll hire someone else they can trust because that person was able to kind of talk about a mistake honestly or kind of share something that doesn't really cast them in the best light, but it's still true and authentic.
So from your perspective, how is the job search market today affecting job searches?
So in two ways, since COVID has happened, we're now seeing that the average employee is looking for a more hybrid work schedule. So they're speaking up more. They're taking, I guess you would say, ownership during the interview process. So in prior years, we saw that, you know, companies kind of held all the, they held a bag of goodies, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
all the chips. And so now candidates kind of have more of a say in their interviewing companies back and they're a little bit more picky. The second change would be the Great Resignation, which I'm sure you've heard of. Mm-hmm. And we've seen just a lot more job seekers flood the market. And so the person that's on the market, you know, maybe they were laid off or let go and just are on the market normally is now competing with candidates that just have a foot in the market. And they're just like, you know, maybe there's the grass is greener somewhere else. And so we're just seeing that a lot of those roles are going to those candidates. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you know, it would have taken you a month or at the most 3 months to land a new role. Now we're seeing that be almost 6 months because there's so many job seekers on the market now.
Wow. Yeah. And that's just the hard reality, you know, of where we are.
Yeah.
So what do you wish that more young professionals did to better prepare themselves in advancing their careers?
For us, we like to recommend that candidates take a pause before they enter the job market, or even if you're someone that's unhappy at work right now, just taking some time, we like to suggest that you take a weekend to think about, you know, all the questions we've heard before, right? So what makes you happy? You know, what makes you happy that you could do all day, every day at work? What are you really good at work that you're rewarded for, but you want to stop doing? Think about, you know, what did you go to school for? How has your career changed from then? Who were you back then? And who are you now? And just really get almost as if you're treating yourself as a business and really being able to understand this is who I am, being able to speak to who you are intelligently, speak to your values, your themes. If you've noticed that you've taken a lot of risk in your career or you're always rewarded for being that peacemaker at work, those are themes and values that you hold. And just being able to really summarize all of that concretely, feel good about that. And lastly, communicate it when you're interviewing. I think that a lot of job seekers or just folks that are casually looking make that mistake where each next step in their career is more happenstance versus having some intentionality behind it. So when you're interviewing a founder, et cetera, they want to talk to people that seem as if they're in control of their lives and they're introspective and thoughtful and not just, you know, chasing the next shiny object, et cetera.
Well, and that's such a good point. And that actually relates to some clients that I've been coaching this year. I've seen some who are approaching mid-year and in talking with them about their journey, how did you get here? It was a series of, oh, it just kind of happened. you know, I was tapped or this opportunity was presented to me or somebody brought this to my attention. And so when it comes to answering the question, like to your point of knowing what you want and kind of pursuing that, it was just kind of like, I don't know what I want because everything's just kind of fallen in place. Well, if you allow that to happen, then you just end up where you've been taken as opposed to ended up where you want to be, you know, and that certainly is a mindset shift.
It definitely is a mindset shift, but I would give grace to those people because I would say most millennials or probably millennials, that is their career, right? It's just this opportunity came up and I decided to take it. We're typically not that intentional, but I've noticed in coaching clients that when we look back at their career and their college career, there is a story that kind of develops and we do see how their values and their themes have played out. And so there is a bit of a story. And so if you're listening and you feel as if I just kind of took whatever came my way, we have a free PDF guide on the site, soulworkandselfies.com. You can download and you can go through those series of questions and then allow your true story to come out. And it's kind of nice to go through it and to discover that about yourself. It's fun.
Nice. And what stands out for me based on what you've just said, Stephanie, is the power of resources. Someone has to take that initiative to reach out to a coach to get some support to help unpack that story. Someone has to make the time to complete a values type exercise. So resources are there and it's about taking advantage of them. And there are those who will and those who choose to do something else. So really, really good point you bring up. And so Stephanie, what does a soul aligned career mean?
For me and for our clients, it means a dream job, right? And so whenever we say this, people kind of look at it as if it's a cliche. So for us, we just like to call it a soul aligned position. And so what that looks like is, you know, you having a title that you're going after, but the offer that you end up accepting is above that, right? We've had a client who was interviewing for an associate level position and the company ended up offering her a managerial one. Maybe the salary is way above your expectations. The people that you are interviewing with and that will be your future colleagues feel like your people, you know, you're safe with them. You can be yourself. So when we think about a soul aligned career or a soul aligned position, that's what that means. It's just a perfect opportunity that you weren't expecting. And it's now here. And, you know, it feels great.
Mm-hmm. Terrific example. What made the difference for that individual to be offered the managerial role versus the, you know, associate assistant role that she was going after initially?
I think it was who she was in that moment. When we initially started working together, she was suffering from imposter syndrome. I think at least me and the clients that we attract, we all kind of have a bit of that. Mm-hmm. And she didn't know her story. She didn't see where she added value with the company she was with. She had two part-time jobs at the time, and she did so much for both companies. And so through our work together, just being able to look back at what she accomplished and what she's gotten over and just what she created for herself, she started to feel more confident in who she was. I won't lie and say that it was easy because there were maybe 20 interviews she went on that rejected her or ghosted her. And then in this last opportunity, I feel she came to a place where she felt surrender. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe a not nice way of saying surrender could be, it was just like, F it. So she just threw her hands up in the air, went on her interviews because she was showing up for herself, but she didn't have expectations. And that's when this company and this role came to be. It's pretty unique because she was looking to work at a VC fund, women-led, and that's the role that she landed. They even relocated her back to the city that she had to leave due to finances. So it was a 360 sort of serendipitous, special moment for her in her career. And that's the kind of work that we like to do versus just, you know, getting you any old job, having something special come out of it.
Right. Nice. I really like that she kind of shed some of that may have been undermining or tarnishing her authentic self and just was like, I'm just going in, like, and help lift up her confidence. And in that, one of the things I've come to observe in working with clients is there is value in the process of being in the candidate seat. Because even if you don't get that job, you're getting closer to a job that you will get. and you're gaining that experience. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we put like a lot of expectations around, oh, there's that one job and I'm going to get that one job and I'm not going to go interview for all these others. And I invite clients to consider for themselves, how will it be for you sitting in the chair and going through the interview process, being a candidate, hearing yourself show up in that moment? Because just like everything else, it's about building that muscle. And from your perspective, what, if any, like quantitative wise, is there kind of a framework or a suggestion that you would offer that for how many number of interviews will generate how many prospective offers?
Yeah, we do actually. So our application strategy is this. We like a higher volume application strategy so that, let's say you are applying to 5 to 7 or even 5 to 10 roles, 3 days or 5 days out of the week. And these roles are still roles that you're interested in. Maybe you have 70% interest there. You'll have enough conversations so that when you are interviewing with that company that you really want, you have maybe 2 or 3 other opportunities so that you're getting that practice with interviewing and you're also not putting all of your eggs in one basket. Mm. And you can kind of be safe from going into despair because you're not hearing back and, you know, getting rejected, et cetera. And so we feel the most comfortable when our clients have, I'd say, anywhere from 2 to 3 final rounds, 2 to 3 final companies they're interviewing with. Mm-hmm. One of those is going to be the sole aligned position or the offer that they really want. Mm-hmm. So that's our framework, higher volume, 5 to 10 or 3 to 7 roles that you're applying to 5 days out of the week or 3 days out of the week. And, you know, saying yes to all of the interviews, not canceling them just because you're not interested anymore, like really mm-hmm. using them for practice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What are some of all, well, not some of, what are the variables that you support clients with discovering that are in their soul? You know, we've heard through the storytelling and uncovering values, but what else is part of that journey?
We do get a little woo. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that term, but...
Winning others over? That's what I'm not asked. W-O-O.
Well, we do lean on spirituality modalities a lot. One of our co-coaches is a communication strategist, a leadership strategist, and she works with our clients to have them communicate better. Another one of our co-coaches is a healing arts practitioner, certified healing arts practitioner. And so she'll have our clients take self-guided meditations, shamanic journeying sessions to commune with or speak to their inner child, their higher self. We practice feeling and visualization techniques to kind of, you know, bring in what that role will feel like on a day-to-day, you know, what does your day look like? And so when it comes to kind of getting that career clarity and attracting in that soul aligned role in the beginning, that's why we suggested taking a weekend to go through those questions and then end it by potentially communing with your inner child or your higher self through meditation work.
Mm-hmm. What have you observed are some of the obstacles for individuals getting to that soul alignment for themselves?
I would say not being prepared when they enter the market. So we talked about creating that story, where you started your career and where you're looking to take it, and being really intentional. Candidates just join on the market, take interviews, and they don't practice for them. They don't really know who they are and what they're speaking to. They're just taking these interviews. The second would be not taking the job description and making sure that you have answers for every bullet point. It is important for you to prepare, because when you are interviewing with your dream company, you want to make sure that you are able to speak intelligently and be succinct, et cetera. So really practicing enough before the interview. And then lastly, which is really difficult to do, but remembering that, you know, it is a conversation and that you are just as valuable as the company. So you don't need to enter the interview like, this is an interview and I have to prove myself in some way, especially not now in a post-COVID world. Mm. It's more important for you to understand that, number one, like I said, they're assuming you're qualified. And number two, it's just, they want to get to know you, and no answer is the wrong answer. And one of the affirmations that I typically ingrain in my client's head is there's nothing I can do to mess this up. There's nothing I can do to get in the way of me getting that soul aligned career, that dream role. So they don't hold on to or put too much power on each individual interview. So I would say if you are looking to manifest and attract in that beautiful role that's made for only you, then making sure that you're well practiced, making sure that you're intentional, you know who you are, and that you're taking each interview and trying as best as you can to just have it be a conversation versus putting pressure on yourself.
You know, and coming back to you for a moment and your journey, Stephanie, because, you know, you mentioned helping clients with their dream, you know, landing an opportunity with their dream company. Your process to getting into the recruiting field, did you know that early on? Did you go to school for that? Or did you start out somewhere? You did say psychology, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, how did you get there?
I've always been obsessed with human behavior and success for some reason. I should ask my therapist why, but so that's what I went to school for. For me, salary was very important. And so to be a psychologist or a therapist, I think the salary cap was around 70K, and that's with 10, 15 years of experience. So when I had that first job, I was, you know, choosing between two roles, and I got an offer to be a human resources assistant. And then I got an offer to be a recruiter at this, you know, fancy place that was servicing financial institutions in Manhattan. So I went that route. And recruitment takes several different skill sets. You don't necessarily have to go to school for it, but you need to be someone that likes people, that wants to serve, that is interested in people, and being able to some degree, at least, I guess, to be able to advocate for your company's desires, as well as make sure that the candidate's desires are being advocated for. So basically, I paused. I was trying to think of a nice way to describe have a selling ability. That's how I started my career in recruitment. You don't need to go to school for it.
Hey there. I hope you're enjoying today's episode. Now, in addition to working with high-achieving professionals, I want to remind you that I also offer premier strength-based leadership team trainings and workshops, both virtually and in person, all around the world. And I want to let you know of a new partnership I have with a Washington, D.C. area-based leadership development company, Collaborative Thinking, led by Michelle Mock. Now, as a result of this partnership, we offer a broad range of coaching and learning experiences to fit your organization's needs. So whether it's supporting the professionals on your team with content related to emotional intelligence, wellness and mindfulness, or resilience, we as well provide expansive resources to support the productivity and effectiveness of your teams with course content, such as coaching and managing others, leading change, or conflict management, to name a few. So request a copy of our complete catalog of trainings and workshops by sending me an email at grow@TuesdaysWithCoachMo.com. That's GROW at TuesdaysWithCoachMo.com, or simply message me on LinkedIn. And now, back to our episode. What's your process for helping or supporting your clients in vetting their dream companies?
Right. So definitely, as you were sharing that, I felt goosebumps because we've seen that happen, you know, and it's terrible to witness. So first would be really relying on your gut and making sure that you're not necessarily utilizing your intuition, but building it up as much as possible. Clearing the air of any sort of limiting beliefs that can kind of cloud your mind as you're interviewing, so that you can really pay attention to, well, how do I feel while I'm talking to this person? Do I believe what they're sharing? You know, and then also having that boldness to ask questions that you normally wouldn't ask. And so during our first session, we talk to our clients and ask, you know, what's important to you? Some people, they want to be on diverse teams. Some people, they want, you know, to work on a team where they're not always chasing fires, et cetera. And so we work together to craft sort of sneaky questions to kind of get that information. And then we decide, you know, who are you going to pose that question to? Where would you, you know, receive the most value? So are we going to ask the recruiter that's, you know, managing the process, the team member, the manager? And we kind of create a game plan with maybe five or so questions that can suss out the ideal environment for them. So yeah, so just to summarize really quickly, it would be, you know, being bold enough and brave enough to know what's important to you, writing that down and creating a game plan on how, who am I going to ask to find this information out and how am I going to ask? And then lastly, clearing the air of any sort of limiting beliefs that are in your mind, so that you can really tune into the conversation and rely on your gut and what your intuition is telling you. Mm-hmm.
If you are getting down to an offer is now being made to a candidate, mm-hmm. and if the candidate really has some unanswered questions, right? Something that's on their bold question list related to this dream company. How is it received if that candidate says, yeah, you know, I'd like to talk with some others inside the company, you know, maybe talk some people on the team that I'd be working with, or talk about, you know, or I'd like to have a conversation with someone else or more senior, you know, if it's a person of color or a member of an LGBTQ plus community, you know, to understand their perspective of working there. How do you anticipate that being received by a hiring manager or recruiter?
Right. So I've actually been in that situation as the recruiter that was managing the process and as a career coach who was, you know, supporting my client as they, you know, ask those questions. And so in my opinion, as a recruiter, it just, we view you as a high quality candidate when you're sort of pushing back or leaning into your boundaries. I'm not sure if that's the right way to explain mm-hmm. it, but you know, if right before, right after your final round interview or right before it, if you say, hey, you know, I know this isn't a part of the process, but is it possible for me to speak to another minority in the company, or I found this person on LinkedIn or et cetera, you can definitely ask for that. There's always a graceful way to ask or to make any request. Mm-hmm. And again, that just means that, okay, wow, this is someone who really cares about their career. You know, they don't take mess. We have to really show them more respect. Obviously, if you're more senior in your career, actions like that are more expected. Mm-hmm. But even if you're an associate and you're kind of posing these questions, it just means that, wow, we have to respect them more. And this is probably going to be a future leader in the company. So it doesn't make you look bad in any way. Where it would make you look bad is if you're asking after you received an offer and you're asking to speak to several different people. Mm-hmm. So just think about the when you're making the requests and how you can make them in a sort of graceful way.
Stephanie, how do those holistic tactics, and as you were kind of unpacking your process around the discovery of one's soul aligned career, how do those mm-hmm. holistic tactics help in the job search?
Night and day, it's the difference between an offer or not receiving an offer. Mm. So the company's been around for about 4 years now. And I've seen repeatedly when my candidates are feeling the burn, feeling rejected, you know, just burnt out from job searching, and they're sending messages, we have a cold messaging technique, versus when they are optimistic or, you know, they've surrendered and they're kind of just like in that sort of efforts and just, you know what, I'm going to show up for myself and then go about the rest of my life. We've seen just drastic differences, and I can't explain why other than people are more responsive to you when you're in a better state of mind or a better energy. So we really lean heavily on that. So when I'm meeting with my clients, I'm asking them, how are you feeling? I'm observing, you know, their body language, how they're speaking to me. We're always checking in during the week just to see where their energy is at, because that's, I would say, almost 50% of the game. And so we've literally seen that where someone will send a message and it's kind of careless, but it's using the same language, and they'll send another message and maybe they'll hold their heart and send out good vibes to that person. And consistently, we've seen that person get a response versus the first message sent.
Nice.
So it's a part of our methodology here for sure.
All right. And the proof is in the pudding, as they say. Mm-hmm. As we're getting ready to draw to a close, what are some of the resources available for someone who do you describe as, let's say, a passive job seeker, right? So we have active mm-hmm. job seekers. I've got to get a job. I'm without one, et cetera. But if someone who is passive, they're comfortable where they are, maybe they're feeling that, maybe there's something out there. What comes up for you in terms of resources for that individual?
Yeah, there's a few places. So the first place I would recommend is elpha.com, mm-hmm. which is ELPHA.com. They have a really good forum. So I would create a profile there, sign up for their newsletter, and just poke around in the forum. A lot of the advice you'll find there is just related to career progression, receiving promotions, you know, even money management tips, and then of course, job search help. I feel like it's a good idea to be in that energy. Also, Career Contessa, which is oneword.com. They have an amazing newsletter. I would sign up for that. And then lastly, if you want to be a part of other folks that are discreetly interviewing or, you know, just putting their toe in the water, we have a private community on Facebook called Soul Work in Six Figures. And I'm in there every week hosting workshops. My co-coaches are in there doing energy things, workshop, like energy management workshops. And we're all just communing. You know, these are women and men that are looking to level up in their career. So you can be a part of that community. And even views, we have 50 plus trainees in there as you start to consider this next step in your career.
Oh, nice. Wow. Sounds like chock full of content. What final information do you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, if I were to share something, it would be one interview doesn't dictate where your career is going to go. So if you, you know, do poorly on one interview, you don't know what they're looking for. And just manage your energy, manage how you're viewing whatever's coming up in life versus trying to hold on tightly to each individual aspect of your job search or your career trajectory.
That was Stephanie Heath of Soul Work and Six Figures. Now, as you heard Stephanie say, to manifest and attract that soul-aligned role that is just right for you, you must, number one, be well-practiced, number two, be intentional, and number three, nurture the mindset to be in a conversation versus an interview, as this will help you reduce that self-imposed pressure for trying to get it just right. And now for Coach Mo Knows, a tip, a coaching question, and a bit of inspiration. My tip this week is to definitely connect with Stephanie on her social media outlets. Be sure to check out the show notes where I provide additional information for connecting with Stephanie. And be sure to take advantage of her special offer to listeners for her Career Catalyst 10-week discreet job search program. She's extending a 15% discount to all listeners of the Tuesdays with Coach Mo podcast by entering the code Monique Betty. That's all one word, Monique Betty, in order to get your 15% discount off of her job search program that she offers. My coaching question this week is, think through your professional experiences. What aspects of your current or previous roles is aligned with your soul? And for inspiration, it comes from former President Theodore Roosevelt, who said, "Far and away, the best prize that life offers is the chance to work hard at work worth doing." Hey, thanks for listening. If you like what you're hearing, please leave a 5-star review on the Apple iTunes platform. Until next time. That's a wrap for this episode of Tuesdays with Coach Mo. Showing up here tells me you're willing to invest in yourself and your career. Get additional resources at TuesdaysWithCoachMo.com. Please subscribe and leave a review. I'd love to get your feedback. Till next time, this is Coach Mo signing off.
Tuesdays with Coach Mo.